to Mom, Sorry Mom. I am Danielle Mitchell, your host. And I am going to talk a little bit about the Montessori environment today and how that relates to, like, how she structures her environment and the philosophy behind it, and how you can do that at home. So the first thing is, it's important to know that her whole education, she called an education to peace. Everything she put into her environment, she wanted to be beneficial to the child and build virtue in some way. Her idea was that if you can help the child order his environment around him, it'll help him order things inside himself. And it will help, and so therefore, like, put things right within him. A lot of times that's called virtue. She was very disciplined in what she put in her environment. And if it wasn't building virtue, to her, this is a waste of time. This is a waste of the child's time. If it's not helping them order themselves, like, because a child, when they're in development, I mean, they're not a man yet. They're not a woman. They're in the process of building themselves. It takes a lot of work. And in her opinion, you're doing this child a disservice if you're putting something in front of them that isn't help building them as a human person and help ordering themselves in the right way, to give them this inner peace and help them feel fulfilled and satisfied in their life. So that's the whole premise behind how she chooses what to put in her environment. And so I'll go ahead and open the can of worms. A lot of times at home, we have a lot of things in our environment that is not building virtue in our children in their most important years, the years when they're building themselves as a person. And of course, this work is never complete. We should always be growing in virtue and building ourselves, but it happens the most, like, this inner ordering of things happens the most when they are young children. And we live, at least here in the United States, live in a culture of material things, and especially toys and plastic toys. And Montessori has a whole thing on plastic toys and how, I mean, it just doesn't, kids break plastic stuff and don't respect them because they can feel it isn't real. It doesn't have a weight. It doesn't even have, like, physical weight to it. It's not heavy. It's not substantial. And they know. My kids just know. So, I mean, if you really want them to respect them, some things you would say, then take a long time and build a good, great thing. You know, if you have a rocking chair that's plastic, it's going to easily get broken. And first of all, it's easy to break it, and the kids are going to play with it normally, and they're not going to respect it. But if you have a solid wooden rocking chair, I'm talking kid-sized chairs also. We have this solid wooden rocking chair, and it's like, the bottom rails are 2 inches by 2 inches. I mean, it's very sturdy. And I mean, no chance of ever getting rid of this thing. Actually, it was gifted to a friend from a friend. I wouldn't want to get rid of it. And it's really sturdy, nice rocking chair, but the kids respect it. It's really heavy and really hard for them to pick up and move around, so it doesn't get thrown around. And they've all sat in it to read and do schoolwork, or, you know, prayer time or whatever. And yeah, they can tell. It's night and day between how they treat their outdoor plastic lawn chairs and how they treat this, like, big, nice wooden rocking chair. So that's, I guess, a little bit of a tangent, but I mean, it has to do with, like, plastic things and plastic toys. But so Montessori would choose what to go in her environment, and the children's casa is what she called it, the children's house. Casa dei Bambini in Italian. I probably just botched that. Anyways, so everything she would put in this environment was meant to build this child as a virtuous person and order things inside and order virtue inside of them to help them bring them to this peaceful place and build themselves as a human being. We have to think about that when we're putting things in our home for our children. And one of her things that she detested the most was things with wheels, like little cars or anything that didn't serve a purpose. And it was, she said that they're not learning anything from it. All they're doing is just taking this car and running it around everywhere. It's not ordering them inside. It's not building virtue. It just comes down a lot of things like this, that we, there's a lot of toys like that in our culture. And we've got to decide ourselves what we want for our children in our home environment. And if you do allow those things in, then you have to realize that, especially if you homeschool, you're going to be battling those things every day. I mean, you could just box them up and put them away during school time, I guess, and say, you know, they come out afterwards if you really want them to have those things. I prefer them not to, because like she said, you're really doing your kids a disservice. And there's many things we could do that are a disservice, like just having them watch silly cartoon shows that don't have a background, or letting them watch a lot of TV. Just the worst for young kids. And believe me, I have five under seven. It's hard. And I use the TV as a babysitter some days, and I feel really guilty about it. But I feel like that's a failing on myself for not being disciplined enough to, whatever, have enough resources to like get somebody to watch them so that I can get my break that I need, or that I haven't ordered our environment well enough, or like given us enough boundaries to like set, oh, quiet and book reading time so that they're in that routine and things don't get crazy. Like they have, so that they have what they need mentally and physically to feel calm. And therefore that I have, you know, I mean, their energy affects my energy a lot. So again, like, I don't think that's necessarily a cultural thing. Like, we've decided to put a TV in our home, and I have to fight that battle. Like, they ask to watch TV all the time. And at least I have usually I stick pretty strongly to the rule of don't even ask if all of your chores aren't finished and our schoolwork isn't done. Don't even ask. And even then, if I do let them watch a show, I try to have it be something that's like about nature outside. Or we've been watching Texas foraging videos because we live in Texas. And it was super cool because a week later, we're all walking beside this plant. It was like in some, like next to some museum. It wasn't even out in nature. And we all kind of stopped and looked at it at the same time. It was so funny. And then one of my kids said, "Hey, I think we can eat that." And I was like, "Yeah, I think you're right. I think I remember that plant." And nobody could remember the name, but we recognized it. And we're like, "Yes, that's something we could eat." So they all start picking the flowers off and eating the flowers. And it was an edible flower plant also. Yeah, so these are all battles that like we choose to put. Like, we choose to put that in our home, and Montessori didn't want anything like that in her environment because to her, like, these were the most important years of this person's life, years that they build themselves as a human person. So we have to take that into account in what we're putting in our home. Are little toy airplanes really helping them do much? It's not teaching them about aromatics. They don't actually fly. You know, it's not even like a drone where you have a remote controller and you're figuring out how to do something like this electronic thing. So you need to take that into account if you want to do things Montessori. I mean, we have to realize too that she came from this Catholic background. And as Catholics believe that virtue, or like truth, goodness, and beauty, things that participate in truth, goodness, and beauty, are what we call God. Discipline comes from the word disciple, to be disciplined in order to build these virtues in ourselves. Like, it's a discipline to get up and go to work every day. You know, it's the same at home, like to be disciplined to give our children what they need, and disciplined to even get ourselves what we need personally as mothers, as human beings, or whatever. Please go outside or back upstairs. Okay, you look okay. You're not bleeding. Go on. I can't help you right now. When I'm finished, I will come talk to you and Elijah and figure out what happened. But right now, Mommy's getting her break. Okay, remember? Mommy's alone time. Perfect example. The children are supposed to be upstairs or even possibly outside so that Mommy has some time alone right now. Yes, so we have to decide ourselves like what we want to put in our environment for our children. And it's not like, oh, they can't. It's not like we have to have a sterile environment. That's the opposite of, or saying she filled the environment with things that would build this child. For a little child, it would be putting in a transferring work of transferring beans to one bowl to another and doing work in that way with their hands, and they enjoy it. So it's increasing their hand dexterity, and it's in this beautiful tray with beautiful bowls, and they're learning how to be learning hand dexterity and learning order in the way that this work is set up in this tray, going from left to right. Everything goes from left to right in the Montessori environment to help them learn to write from left to right. It's all, she built a lot of that stuff into her environment, into her aging environment. She did a lot of stuff like that. And, you know, here we have like nature journals that can go outside and they can draw something they see. We have our, you know, our Montessori workshops with all of our Montessori work that they can do, and lots of things to keep their environment clean, like brooms and sponges and window cleaning kit and things like that. And they can go outside and just play outside and dig in the dirt if they would like. We do have like a dress up bin for them to role play, because that's what kids also do. It's how they process things that they take in their environment and how people interact. They did that. My 4-year-old said he married. No, my 5-year-old said he married the 1-year-old the other day, and they like put on little dress up clothes. Like she had a dress on, and he had some other little thing around his neck, and yeah. So they talk about getting married a lot. So that's things to think about whenever you're setting up your home is, you know, if your home is full of like only plastic toys, then what opportunities are you giving your children to develop themselves? And I wouldn't think of it as, you know, the first thing somebody says is, oh, well, that's no fun. I mean, what I would say to that is, if you only give a child fun, what will he ever learn in his life? He'll learn that everything serves him in his entertainment. And is that really how, like, can you think of a 25-year-old with that attitude? Like, does that sound like a good human being to have them grow up like that? That only things are fun and they entertain me. And if it isn't fun for me, then I don't care about it and I don't want to do it. And I'm going to be upset until somebody gives me something fun. I don't feel like that's the best way to help our children in their growth as a human person and in our, you know, in our role as parents for education. And education is not just numbers. Education is a passing on of culture. And again, like this education to peace is building themselves interiorly as a good human person and having independence and being able to take care of themselves and integrating them into society with the correct ideas of also helping others. And there's just so many beautiful things to be giving them and teaching them. But I also wouldn't think of it just strictly, oh, well, now I can't have any fun things. And things that we think of as adults, like sometimes we think the only fun things are toys, which is totally, totally not true. It's so fun for the kids to get in the kitchen and cook with me. Like every time I'm cooking, they all ask what I'm doing. They all ask to help. What an experience. What a building experience for themselves. And so that's just one thing, you know, instead of entertaining them with their toys, like you go play with your toys, let them help you cook. And it could be any little thing. Like you're making an entire dinner and you just give them, hey, just peel the potatoes. Teach them how to peel potatoes and just let them do that. You know, then that's like, that's a start. It's, they really don't care as long as they just get to help. So that's one thing. Or just playing outside and digging in the dirt is so fun. And playing dress up and playing with their siblings that way is so fun. But giving them things like that to do. And Montessori is not just about having fun. Like you can't, you're not going to build their discipline or their virtue if they are only having fun. So that's like in our house, we have chores built into every day. They all have chore charts. And I just recently learned, my friend that's a Montessori teacher in a Catholic Montessori school near here, all the kids in the atrium, I mean, in their casa, in their children's house, in the Montessori school, all have chores to do. When they finish their work, they do their chores. And when they all eat lunch together, they each clean up their space, which is something that we do at home too. Like, because you have to learn how to take care of yourself and your environment also in order to feel peaceful and survive. I mean, how it's just like all this minimalistic, clean organizing fad that's been going on lately. What you see affects, like, exteriorly affects you interiorly. If you look around the room and there's no organization and junk piled everywhere, that's hard for you to sift through in your mind. And you could be like me and okay with organized piles, but then when you actually organize it and have a place and it actually looks clean, like you're going to feel that much better, you know, with you, with your whole mental attitude and your peace. So yes, that is kind of just an introduction to what Montessori, you know, how Montessori chooses what to put in her environment. There's lots of books. One is called Montessori from the Start. And it's by Paula Polk Lillard. It's from birth to 3 years old, like the child in the home from birth to three. So it's kind of a younger, it's a book about how to put things in your home and make your home a Montessori environment for your young child. And once you start reading Montessori books, like it's pretty apparent, you know, things that you can do for them. So yeah, and a lot of it is just every day having them put their own things away, having your house always picked up and having them stay accountable for that is helping them build that virtue. It's keeping your house clean, and they're learning to pick up as they go. I used to have the tendency of, I would do, for instance, like for cooking, I love to cook. And when I first got married, I would make these big meals, and then I would have like this huge big mess to clean up at the end. And it's taken me many years to learn this, but now I clean as I go. And it's a lot easier to do that when you have meals that you've cooked before and you kind of know how they go. Well, it's the same at home. If you know where these toys go and you put them back here every time, it gets easier and easier to pick up as you go. You know, you're reminded of that if you remind yourself all the time. So now whenever I cook a meal, there's hardly, if I've done my work of cleaning up after myself as I go, then there's hardly any dishes, anything to clean up whenever the meal's finally fit, like when the meal comes out of the oven and is ready to eat. So just an example of how picking up and keeping things clean will teach you. You can do this with your children. And there's just another virtue that's built into the Montessori environment, because they can only have one, what we call material out at a time. So if they get a hundreds board, and they have this thing called a hundreds board for their math work, if they have that out, then they cannot get any other work out until they have put that away. So you can leave it to go get a drink real quick or go to the bathroom in a Montessori environment, but then you're supposed to pick that up and put that away. And so if you're consistent, the children learn this and they pick it up. But I have found in my own home that's much harder to do with things like plastic toys. It doesn't translate it as well, maybe because they don't respect it, maybe because it's not that important. They know it's not that important. But we do have a few toys. My husband would not let my children grow up without toys in their childhood. But I'm not saying like things that, that's a whole nother discussion of what consists as a toy and what consists of something that builds them as a human being. So that's kind of the spiel on toys and the Montessori environment and how she decides what goes into her environment. And you can use this tool to decide what you want in your home environment, whether you're homeschooled or whether you don't. I feel like maybe it's even more important to build stuff like this in for them if you don't homeschool and if they go to public school, because they have less time at home. And so that time that they do have at home becomes that much more important. Like you have, they have less time to learn how to order their own home. Like they have their own, this is their space also. So that is a virtue and a discipline to learn how to organize and keep up your own things. Our kids at home, they don't get to come downstairs until their bed's made and their room is picked up and they've brushed their teeth and got their day clothes on and combed their hair. So the little ones obviously need reminders and need help with that. But yeah, they're used to that now. It takes a bit of time and training. I mean, a lot of Montessori schools want you to make a commitment of coming so many years because there's a lot of work that goes into that child the first year. It does take practice and work for them and consistency for them to learn this. And just like any adult, like it's a learning curve. But it's so beautiful in the end. So that's where I'm going to stop on that. I'll give you a little bit of an update on how Kateri is doing. She's 16 months now. No, 17 months. She's 17 months. I think I did a video a while back when she was around 9 months of her at the weaning table and drinking out of a cup. Now she's finding measuring cups in the cabinet to fill up at the water filter herself because I still have her with a sippy cup, so I don't have to worry about a mess all the time. And so she's definitely working on that. And I need to have her own, like in the bottom shelves of our Montessori cabinets, work on some things for her because they happened to be open the other day and I came in the room and she had our spooning transfer workout and was doing it. So I was like, okay, I guess you can do this at this point. I was not ready for this, but I will do my best. So that's on the to-do list to get her some more stuff out. I want to also speak to the benefit of, you know, in a Montessori environment, they have children of, you know, many ages, like at least a 3-year age range. And children learn from other children this way. I have seen this in my own home with each child. They can do stuff earlier, or they know, or they get into the family routine earlier. And Kateri is no exception. She's like the youngest of doing things. And maybe that's part of being the only girl and all boys. But, you know, even number 3 and number 4 were doing things much younger than number 1 and number 2 because they're seeing the other kids do it and they're seeing the whole family pick up and whatnot and unload dishwasher and, you know, where the stuff goes. So my 17-month-old knows where the plates go. Like, she will come help unload the dishwasher. And, of course, nobody asks at this point, like 3 and under. They very much enjoy helping out and enjoy doing things for the sake of doing things and love being a part of family life in that way. And to them, it's not a chore. It's not work. It's ordering something inside of them and building. They're building themselves as a human person, helping out and learning where things go and organizing, putting things there, ordering things, putting them in their right place. So she knows, like, she'll come when we're unloading the dishwasher because that's the 3-year-old's chore. He's 3 and a half, so he's supposed to help me unload the dishwasher. And she'll come over and she'll take out the kid plates and she knows exactly where they go and she'll go put them in there. We have a dress-up drawer upstairs in the kid's bedroom and we were walking. I was taking Kateri upstairs for something. We walked upstairs and she picked up one of the dress-up clothes and I'm just watching her, walking behind her this whole time. So she picks up one of the dressing clothes. She walks into the boys' room and she opens the drawer and she puts it in. I'm like, mind blown. How did you know, like, what that was? Like, exactly, like, why didn't she just think it was a piece of another piece of clothing or like shirt or shorts. But she, I recognized it was a dress up clothes and picked it up and put it in the dress up bin and then closed the drawer and done. I was like kind of scared. But this is part of the benefit of having lots of ages together. They learn from each other. They're watching the other kids all of the time. And Kateri does a lot of stuff like this. She'll, the kids clean up their space after every meal, and she'll come and pull the rag down off the side of the kitchen sink, and she'll start wiping stuff. She'll just get it and start cleaning, start wiping things down. So it's really awesome. That's another part of the Montessori environment, is having different ages together and them learning from each other. So that's really awesome. She'll even get the window cleaning kit down, and she's trying to spray on the window and then gets out the little scrubber and is trying to scrub. And it's really cool that she's trying to do this stuff at 17 months and she knows how it goes. So, yeah, they learn, for some reason, they learn so much better when they see a kid doing it closer to their age than they see an adult doing it. I don't know what that is there, and I don't know if there's, Montessori has said something about that before. I can't recall if she has in my studies of her philosophy. So that's that, and I hope that you got something out of this podcast and this episode. I'm going to work on myself getting more stuff in my cabinets, the work cabinets, on our school cabinets for the 17-month-old. And probably go purge a few more toys now that I just did a whole podcast about this. So thanks for listening and have a good day.